Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
We are going to go deep here today, my friends. We're going to be talking about how to ethically use subconscious selling to improve your marketing and increase your sales. And joining me to talk about this today is my friend Jim Fortin. This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. All right, let's jump into it. Hey, what is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. I'm your host, Rick Mulready, and this is episode number 173. Really appreciate you for giving me your time today. Hope all is going well, whatever you're up to. If you are listening to this on Wednesday, January 10th, the day that it comes out, this podcast, the episode comes out, my wife and I are on a plane right now to Paris. We are heading back there again. We love that city. We were just back there in June of 2017, just about 6, 7 months ago. And we're heading back to hang out there for a few weeks and work from there. And really excited about it. And while I'm over there, I'm going to be doing a one-day Facebook ads and business strategy workshop in London, which I'm pumped about. I get asked all the time about what I want to be doing, you know, live workshops in Europe. Well, decided to do it when we're over there for this trip, and I'm really excited about doing that. So on the show today, we're going to be talking about something that we've never talked about here on the show, and that is how to ethically use subconscious selling to improve your marketing and increase your sales. Well, what the heck does all that mean? Well, joining me today to share his expertise with this topic is Jim Fortin. And Jim is an expert with over 20 years of expertise in subconscious selling and high performance. Using neurolinguistics and behavioral science, Jim has created a powerful new selling technology, which he calls neuropersuasion. We're going to be talking about that here today. Now, these persuasive techniques can do things like help you shorten your selling cycles and significantly improve your sales performance really quickly. And Jim teaches this subconscious influence, which is all about how to get into people's heads and how to affect them subconsciously on an ethical level. So specifically, I know you're listening to this right now, like, what are you talking about, Rick? Well, this is what we're going to be diving into here specifically today. How to use brain triggers and pattern interruptions in your ads to get your audience's attention more quickly. We're going to be talking about what it means to use metaphorical imagery in your ads and how it can get people to take action for you, what high contrast means and how you can use it to position your offers. We talk about ways that you can demonstrate your offer or product in a way that's different than everything else that's out there. We get into how to improve your webinars by making tangible payoffs in the webinars and what exactly that means. We talk about how to enter the conversation that your target audience is already having in their mind so they will follow you. How to use hypnotic conversational language to get people to take action. and a whole lot more. I told you, we're going to go deep on this stuff today. We've never covered this topic here on the show, and this was a really interesting conversation that I have here with Jim. You may want to listen to this episode a couple of times to really let things dig in. Get your notebooks out, get the voice memos out, whatever you have to do to take some notes during the episode here today. We go into a lot of great stuff here with Jim. So without further ado, let's jump into it with Jim Fortin. Jim, super excited to welcome you to the podcast. How's it going, man?
Man, I'm doing well, and it's good to be here today.
Well, we met finally for the first time at James Wedmore's BBD Live a few weeks ago in Laguna Beach. Yeah. And was supposed to have you on the show right after that. I got sick with the flu, and here we are a couple weeks later. So really excited to have you on, because we've not talked. We're going to talk about something that we've not talked about here on the show. Well, we've probably talked about it many different times, but not in the way that we're going to be talking about it here today. And that's all about like persuasion and influence and how the brain works and stuff like that, and how we can leverage this knowledge with our online marketing and our online advertising. And before, so that's for all those reasons. We also might get a little woo woo here today, which is totally cool with me. It's right up my alley. You know, my listeners and my audience has started to understand that that's something that's really important to me in my life and something that drives a lot of the stuff that I do, both in my business and in my life. So I'm really excited to jump into this stuff. But before we do, let's start with you. Let's talk about who you are, what you're up to right now, and what your background is and everything.
Okay, before we do that, I want to actually hook everybody, though, and tell you that on this podcast, you're going to start learning how to persuade and how to influence your prospects and clients subconsciously. You're going to learn how to crawl into their brain and push buttons in their brain, and they don't even know that it's happening. So I want to lay that down first, because they're here for that first.
Yep.
But about me, let me give you a little background here. I've been doing this 25 years.
Okay.
And I'm sure you've heard of NLP, neurolinguistic programming.
Absolutely. Yep.
Right. Okay. Well, this is not really, when I say persuasion and influence, people think, oh, NLP. And there's a little bit of that. But I'm also a master hypnotist. And people do not know that years ago, that hypnosis was endorsed by the American Medical Association. Now, they changed the way that they endorse things, but Harvard, Stanford, Yale, Columbia, all the major medical schools, National Institute of Health, they endorse hypnosis for healing and behavioral change. Mm-hmm. But here's the takeaway for us on this call today. Many years ago, I used to work at the Hypnosis Institute in New York City, and a client of mine, he was a vice president over at Goldman Sachs, and he came in to stop smoking. The very first session, he stopped smoking. He came back again, and he asked me how I got him to stop smoking just by talking to him. And plain and simple, which we'll talk about today, I laid suggestions, I led him, I paced him, I planted suggestions that he wanted subconsciously. And he shifted in his chair and he said, you know what? I work with high net worth clients. Can you show me how to persuade and influence my clients subconsciously? And that's where all this was born for me. Is I'm like, yeah, if I can do this for smoking and I can get you to stop smoking, then why can't I get you to buy? And so what I've done, I've taken all the tools that the hypnotist would use and map them over into business and sales and advertising and marketing. And then for years also, I've, you know, followed behavioral research. So I've wrapped the behavioral research around neurolinguistics and around, which we'll talk about today, conversational hypnosis. So I've done this for a lot of years, and my expertise is subconscious persuasion, influence, selling, and performance in a nutshell.
I love it. I'm super excited. And you got me hooked right. I took a note a minute and 20 seconds into the conversation. We're hooked. I'm hooked, ready to dive into this stuff. You know, we've talked about this a little bit before going live here. And one of the first things that you said to me was that just about everybody in sales and marketing works backwards. You know, we're talking about this. We're trying to persuade and influence, not in a negative way, but we're trying to get people to purchase from us. Yeah. And in this whole world of sales and marketing, people are working backwards. They work from the conscious side of the brain, when research, in our conversation here, you were saying that research has shown that 95% of all buying decisions are unconscious, or actually on the right side of the brain, not left brain, which is where everyone tends to focus. Can you kind of start to unpack that and break that down a bit?
Absolutely. And let me frame that, actually. We can even talk about framing in a bit. Every one of you, the fact that you're here listening to this podcast means that you want to increase your sales. Now, that being said, stay with me all the way through the podcast, because you're going to hear things today that you've never heard before. Now, let's start with what you just asked in the comment about right brain buying. Back in 2007, and other universities have demonstrated this and proven this, but in 2007, the Max Planck Institute in Leipzig, Germany, which is one of the foremost research institutes in the world, they've got 43 Nobel Prize winning scientists contributing content. What they discovered, well, let me just explain this. They put people in an fMRI machine, a functional magnetic resonance imaging machine, and they asked them to make a decision, A or B. And what they did is they watched the blood flow in the brain as the person was analytically thinking about the decision they were going to make. What they discovered is that our brains make our decisions for us even while we think we're actually analytically making a decision. They discovered, yeah, it's crazy. So what they discovered is up to 95% of all decisions that we make, including buying decisions and responding to Facebook ads, are subconsciously determined, even if we don't recognize it.
Mm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So how do we leverage that? So how do we leverage that as an online marketer, as a local business owner, as, you know, selling e-commerce, whatever that might be, how do we leverage this to our advantage?
Okay. There's a couple of ways. And major companies, let's start there. Let's start with Apple and Doritos and different companies, and then we'll actually leverage down in the Facebook ads. Before we get there, very quickly, three parts of the brain. The oldest part of the brain, which you probably heard of, is called the reptilian brain. Mm-hmm. It's fear-based, fight or flight. That's the part of the brain that literally responds to an ad the most. The middle part of the brain is called the mammalian brain. That is the emotional brain. And then top of the head, front, you know, above the forehead, is the prefrontal cortex, which is a thinking part of the brain. We are driven by the reptilian part of the brain, which is the fear part of the brain. But what everybody actually addresses their ads to is the thinking part of the brain, which is a part of the brain that does not buy. Now, let's address your question. How do we leverage this? Okay, let's go with Apple first. Let's go back to Campbell's Soup. We all know the Campbell's Soup label, right? Mm-hmm. You've seen it for many years.
Sure.
Okay. Back in 2008 or 9, I'm not sure which year, what they did is they put people in an fMRI machine and they watched blood flow in the brain as they looked at the old label and they looked at new representations of the old label. Now, you probably haven't noticed, but their label changed from the iconic label of 100 years ago. It changed about 7, 8, 9 years ago. What they discovered is that when they change the picture, they put steam above the bowl and they take the spoon out. What they've discovered is that that has a better impact in terms of likability on the brain than the older picture. So the VP of marketing at Campbell's Soup said that they wanted to actually, which they did, change their picture to make a bigger unconscious impact in their consumers. So they're using stuff like this. Now, of course, we don't all have an fMRI machine at home, but they're doing stuff like this to subconsciously influence buyers. Now, Apple, do you use Apple or do you use Android?
I'm an Apple user. Yep.
Okay.
Across
you
the board.
Have an iPad. Okay. Me too. You have an iPad, yes?
I don't have an iPad, actually. I have an iPhone. I have two MacBook Pro laptops. No iPad, though.
Got it. Okay. When they started designing their iPad, what they did is they also put people in fMRI machines and they watched blood flow in the brain. What they wanted to determine is they wanted to actually design an iPad that would release endorphins in the brain, which make us feel good. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to what's called neural associate. They wanted us to neural associate that feel-good feeling to that iPad, which we do, and they designed it quite literally in the way that best stimulated the brain. Why? Because they want us to buy. So many, many companies do this. So these are large companies. We can't afford to do that as you know, normal online marketers. But the way that we can do it, and everyone listening now, is I'd like to talk about some brain triggers and some influential language, how we can get hooks in the brain, and they don't even know that it's happening.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I'm glad we're going into that because it's like it's so interesting is from a product standpoint, but then how from a language and a marketing standpoint and the positioning, how is that affected by what you're talking about?
Got it. Well, let's start there. Yep. Let's talk about brain triggers, not social triggers. There's someone else online who talks about social triggers, and social triggers are around Robert Cialdini and his work, which I'm guessing you're familiar with, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, you know, reciprocity, commitment and consistency, scarcity, authority, liking, and such. Mm-hmm. However, what I want to talk about and what I want people to get takeaways from today is brain triggers. And the first one is this. You're old enough, and a lot of people aren't. Do you remember the guy back in the 90s? On TV, that the commercials, his name is Matthew Lesko, and he used to have a book and a program about how to get money from the government. Does any of that ring a bell yet?
I'm trying to picture like the guy's name rings a bell, but I don't remember that exactly. If you describe a little bit more, I could probably get it.
Exactly. And I stopped right there because I wanted to see if you got it yet.
Yes.
Now, do you remember the guy that ran around with a suit, like a Riddler suit, and he had question marks? Our money.
Totally. I do. Yeah, yeah.
You got it. Okay. That was 20 years ago.
Oh, God.
20 years ago. And you're laughing. We're laughing. And other people listening are probably going, yeah, I remember that dude from 20 years ago. But do you remember a Panasonic commercial from 20 years ago?
I do not.
Okay. The reason why, here's step number one. What you have to do, guys, as marketers, I mean, it has to be, and I'm going to actually clap my hands to help here. It's got to be bam, just like that. You have to literally get their attention immediately in your ads. And there's several ways you can do that. A way that we kind of did it, I didn't get it across as strongly as I wanted, but what you want to do is you want to actually start with something shocking, something startling, something they don't know, or something that makes people go, I did not know that. Because see, we operate on autopilot all day long. We literally do. And to demonstrate that, Rick and everyone else listening, how many times you've been driving, you're in your head and you almost miss your exit?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
All the time, right? Yep. Yeah. So we operate as beings on autopilot. And that's why, for example, a good example of this on TV, until he overdosed a couple of years ago, who was the pitch man that would scream at you? You remember his name?
Oh, the guy with the beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I don't remember his name.
Billy Mays.
Billy Mays. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay,
right?
Of course.
The reason he would do that, that's called a pattern interrupt, because we go through our days on autopilot and he had to interrupt our patterns to get our attention. So what you want to do in your ads is you want to get somebody's attention by starting with something shocking, something they didn't know, something, again, that makes them go, wow, I didn't know that. Now you pulled their attention. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yep.
Perfect. Yep. Well, that leads to the second. Well, any questions about that before we go to the next one?
No, not necessarily. I mean, because it's so it completely makes sense. And my brain immediately goes to, it's like, okay, how do we do this within, like, say for Facebook ads, for example, how do we do it within Facebook ads policy? You know, so that it's still on the positive side. And it's, you know, so, I mean, and that's certainly going to be case by case. But yes, totally get what you're saying here, using these brain triggers and this pattern interrupts to get attention. Got it.
Let me add something there. You can even use words or color, which we'll go to next in imagery.
Okay. Okay.
Like, even if you put the word in brackets and you put shocking and then you put something mild and something banal, that in itself, even words like that, or the word terror or some word like that, even gets people's attention.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. I was listening. I don't know why I was. I mean, I was a political science and psych major in college, but I was listening to some old Ronald Reagan speeches. And of course, he had speechwriters. And he said, he goes, and one of his lines in 1981 or so said, the average American is afraid of the terror of what's going to happen next to them economically. And I thought, damn, that's really good. That he put the word terror in there, and that word is a word that actually engages us emotionally. Mm-hmm. So by that one word, he's already pulling people in. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Perfect. Okay. Next one is imagery. We think in imagery for the most part. Let me back up here, because not everybody's predominantly visual. We're either predominantly visual, kinesthetic, which is feeling, or auditory. But you have an iPhone. Do you remember reading the very long instruction manual when you got it?
I did not.
There's no instruction manual, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. It's all imagery. The right-hand side of the brain thinks and processes imagery. So as much metaphorical imagery that you can use in your ads. And again, you know, we're marketers. Everything's about guessing and testing.
Sure.
You put it up, you see what's going to work. But when I'm doing presentations or even with my ads, I'm doing my best to use metaphorical imagery, because the brain also thinks very well in metaphor. I can say, for example, that car is really fast, or that car moves like a scalded cat. You understand scalded cat. It makes sense right away. Or that's
absolutely,
actually, you know, that's stronger than a Texas tornado, right? Mm. You get metaphor.
Yeah.
So the more metaphor that we can talk in, or the more imagery that illustrates metaphor, the more quite literally we're talking to the brain. Because your brain and everyone else's brain, see, words are left brain and analytical. So if I'm going to read an ad, I have to process that prefrontal cortex, and that's analytical. yet, and I've got to think about it. And people read very slow because that's the way we've been trained. We've been trained to read very slow as a culture and a world. However, if I have an image there, the brain reads an image in 0.2 seconds before it ever even thinks about the imagery.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And you can also use color there. Do you know what the most effective color at pulling the eye is?
I'm going to take a total guess. Yellow. Okay. Yellow.
Yeah, you're right. You're
is it
right.
really actually?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. A bright fluorescent yellow. Ding, ding, ding. You get the prize today. Yep.
Wait, did you say that earlier? Did you like drop that in there and I actually just picked up on it or
maybe
what?
Maybe I could have said yellow. I'm just kidding. Yellow earlier. No, that color is actually, that's why they use it at sea, because you can see it the farthest distance through haze and through fog.
Mm, makes sense. Yep.
So I saw an ad recently that pulled my eye to the right-hand side of Facebook. It was the ad and the picture, but it was framed in the yellow. And boom, it immediately pulled my attention. Literally, my brain, no analytical thought, it pulled my brain to the right-hand side of the page.
Mm.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Or something, I saw an ad one time, something gets different. I saw an ad that somebody had literally placed the picture upside down. And then that caught my attention, boom, because it's different, which we'll go into next. It pulled me right away. And then the headline was, is your marketing upside down? And I'm like, damn, that's creative. They did a good job because they demonstrated it metaphorically with the picture and then the text after that. And they had me. And I actually wrote stuff.
I love it.
Makes sense, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Any questions about imagery?
No, got it. That makes total sense. I mean, because we're always trying to, you know, because we can be so literal in our imagery, in our images that we're doing for the ads and stuff like that. And of course, that works. But when you can get that sort of as you're saying, Jim, metaphorical imagery, and again, it's how can we convey the overall message of what we're trying, of our offer with the ad while getting the attention and doing it in a creative way. You know, this is what we're talking about here.
Yeah. And what I'm giving you guys, just take one or two of these brain triggers and just start playing with them. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, we're looking at conversions. You know, if you try to do all eight not knowing this stuff, it's going to be a bit of a chore. But if you just start taking one and you start working with it and then add something else, you'll get better conversions, much better conversions.
Love it.
Real quickly, high contrast is, and by the way, everyone write this down, high contrast. What everyone tries to do is they try to be better than their competition, and that's the wrong approach. What you want to do is it's better to be different than it is to be better.
It's better to be different than it is,
is to be better.
Got it. Okay.
Because how do we qualify better? And that's a conversation right now that's happening at the university level, is that all the elite schools, it's hard for actually candidates that are like extremely qualified candidates are not getting in because they've got so much top tier talent. They can't tell one top tier talent from another top tier talent. They all look the same. So the concept is called high contrast, and this is brain based. The brain actually thinks it has the world figured out. And when it sees something, it doesn't look like everything else. The brain goes, whoa, okay, that's something new. It pulls my attention. So the higher contrast, meaning the higher difference between you and your competition, automatically pulls attention and captivates the brain. Guys, this is really, really important. So you remember Matthew Lesko. Why? Because he was different.
Yep.
Right? I remember of all the Super Bowl commercials, and a lot of us watch Super Bowls for obviously the game and commercials. Can you tell me five commercials you've seen in the past 10 years?
Let's see. You mentioned earlier Doritos. I remember Doritos. I remember Budweiser with the Clydesdales.
Okay.
Anything
stand out? Like, wow, damn, that was a good commercial.
I remember there being like a little puppy or something like that.
Okay. Puppies always get likes on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. I remember, with the Doritos, I don't remember exactly what it was. I remember, that it was a user contest. So they ran they had people create these commercials and submit them, and the winning one show during the Super Bowl. So I remember that. I don't remember exactly what it was.
It's interesting. You don't even remember what it was. You remember part of it.
I don't. I remember the brand.
Let me give you an example. I remember two over the years. One because it had appealed to me emotionally, was for Singular Cellular back in 2000 or so by a guy named King Gimp, G-I-M-P, who painted with his head. He was he didn't have use of – he had cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. And he painted amazing pictures using a paintbrush on his head. And I remember that because it appealed to me emotionally. But one I remember a couple of years ago, guys, was E-Trade. I think it was Scott E-Trade.
Oh, yeah.
They had two chimpanzees beating on a drum – beating on buckets. And they go, we just blew $3 million on chimpanzees beating on buckets. And I was like, that is really, really good.
Yeah.
That is but I remember because it's different than everything else.
Yeah.
So here's your takeaway, guys. Here's your meat and potatoes. You create high contrast by being new, unique, and different. The brain looks and scans for new, unique, and different. So, Rick, you probably washed your clothes in Tide before, detergent, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
What does Tide do every 2 years thereabouts? What do they change their label to?
I have no idea.
New and improved.
They change it? Or has it been always that? Has it been always that way?
Every several years, you'll notice new and improved Tide.
Okay. Okay.
And you're like, what was I washing my clothes in prior?
Right, exactly.
But yeah, new. And you see people using ads and they'll put new, like new training in brackets at the beginning.
Yeah.
These are brain triggers. These are things that are literally, they literally pull the attention of the brain. So what you want to look for is new in your product or your service. How can you position it as new, unique, or different? So my positioning statement is I tell people, because it is true, that I'm the leader in subconscious sales and performance. It's different. People are like, what does subconscious influence mean? But I position myself as the leader in subconscious selling and performance. That makes me unique, and that separates me from all the other sales trainers out there because they're all blabbing the same stuff. Right?
Yep. Yep.
So, okay, so that's high contrast, guys. New, write that down. New, unique, and different. All right, any questions about that one?
No, I'm taking a bunch of notes here, Jim. I'm going to be on the show notes page for today. I do actually have a question. Yep. So we're talking about metaphorical imagery, you know, these high contrast, new, unique, and different. What are some simple ways for people to kind of start with this? You know, they're like, people get it like, okay, cool. I need to use some metaphorical imagery to catch attention and use it as a, you know, as a pattern interrupt or a brain trigger. Where might they start with that? Or on the flip side, with from being looking at, you know, new, unique, and different being these keys to standing out, where can they sort of start with one of these things?
I think, and nobody's asked me a question in that way, and that's a great question, is you ask yourself, whatever your product is that you're advertising on Facebook, you ask yourself, how can I position this and start my headline with this being new, unique, and different? Mm. And it can be as simple as putting in brackets the word new or different, mm-hmm. because that'll pull somebody's attention right away.
Yep.
But in that one sentence, how can you actually, what's called reframing, how can you show that it's different than everything else out there? That's the easiest. It's as simple as that.
Yep.
How can you tell me that my product is different and then demonstrate that? Because if you tell me it's different and you don't demonstrate it, then I don't believe you.
Sure.
But if you tell me that it's different, like, for example, everyone on this podcast, when we started, you actually used a phrase that I normally use, is that people have been trained to sell backwards. And you know what? And I will say things like, you know, Rick, you probably have been trained to sell backwards and you're losing sales because of it. So what I'm doing is I'm creating a little curiosity by saying you've been trained to sell backwards and most of the world is, which makes you go, hmm. And then I put you into, which we'll get to in a minute, pain. Because we move from pain to pleasure. Next, very simple one is make it tangible. Is the brain prefers concrete steps over abstract. If, you know, you say, for example, I can help you get a ton of leads is one thing. But if you say I've got a 3-point plan to help you get, to help you increase your leads by 47%, that's a completely different brain-based way to say it as opposed to I can help you make a ton of cash. That's pretty simple. That makes sense.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. Yep. Yep. My question there, Jim, because you just mentioned talking about like the stats before, talking about emotion and stuff like that. Stats don't sell, but yet they can make it more tangible is what you're talking about here.
Correct. Correct.
Gotcha.
Stats can sell, but we don't generally buy statistics. And let me put it this way. Let me change what I said. We don't buy logically. We buy emotionally, which yep. everybody's heard in sales, and we buy our values. That's why that if a political candidate appeals to a certain faction of the population and they can say a lot of analytical stuff about the economy or whatever, but if you emotionally appeal to that part of the population, they'll follow you non-analytically. They'll follow you emotionally because you're quote unquote speaking their language.
Got it. That makes sense.
Yeah, and that's why people like Russell Brunson talk about customer avatars. Mm-hmm. Know your customer, right?
Yep.
Know them emotionally. Know what engages them. Know what keeps them up at night. Because if you don't know that stuff and you don't know them well, there's no way in this world of attention deficit you're ever going to get to them.
Sure, sure.
Okay, makes sense, right?
Yep.
Okay, a couple of more, and then we'll talk about some conversational language and some covert language and how to actually get into their heads with language. Simple. You know my buddy, our friend Brandon Lucero. Yep. You know him, right?
Okay. Yep.
I've been coaching Brandon for years, and when I first met him, he was just starting out. And for a long time, he was known as a ranking expert on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and you type in how to rank video, Brandon was normally the number one guy who came up. And he would always position his ads as, let me help you rank your videos. And I said, Brandon, you're actually heading the wrong direction. People don't care about ranking their videos. What do they care about?
They care about being number one. Get exposure.
Okay. Go one more step.
They want to be the best.
Okay.
They want to be at the top. Yep.
Go one more step. Money in the bank. They care about sales.
Sure, sure, yeah. And they equate that with sales.
Exactly. Yep. But so he was positioning his ads as, you know, grow your rankings or increase your rankings. And I'm like, you're focusing in the wrong place. Let's actually focus on putting more money in your bank account as a result of ranking your videos. Mm. And his sales increased. Why? Because he's giving them the end result of what they want. Give people the end result. And guys, let me segue here for a second. Rick, cut me off if we need.
Yep.
But I've worked with a lot of marketers and a lot of high-end marketers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I see a lot of people that are even good marketers, but when they get on a webinar, they fall flat because they can't sell.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with any of that?
For sure. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yep.
I see it all the time. And guys, I'm telling every one of you, please listen to me. I see people get on webinars and they spend the first 20 minutes of me, blah, blah, me, blah, blah, me, blah, blah. Guys, you've already lost me. If you can't hook me in and get a fish hook in my mouth in the first 1 minute of that webinar, my attention is going to wane. So what I'm telling you is if you're doing webinars as a result of your ads, which a lot of us do, get into your content and start laying hooks right away about what's in it for them. Because believe it or not, they don't care about you. They're not there for you. They're there for what you can do for them.
Makes sense, right? Completely. Yep.
Oh, my God. And these people are 25 minutes in still talking about themselves. And then they do 12 minutes of content and try to sell me something.
Yeah.
Right? And a lot of people do that, guys. Get into it and make it about your prospect from your Facebook ad. Make it about them right away. And at the very least, lay a fish hook like I did when Rick asked me to start. I said, first, let's make it about them. I did that intentionally to get a fish hook in your mouth to get you to go all the way through this podcast with us.
Yep.
So the takeaway is make it about them and make it about an end result, not about a process. They don't care about the process. Make it about what they're going to get. Okay. That ties that one up, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. Couple of more is pain. Pain is our brains are constantly scanning. The reptilian part of the brain is constantly scanning the environment for pain and loss. The more pain you can put people in, the quicker and faster they're going to move. That's why, for example, when you read the headlines, it's never about the Boy Scout walking the old lady across the street. It's always about the bus plunging off from the cliff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as marketers, guys, you want to talk about what people are going to lose if they do not take action and do not work with you or buy your product or service or whatever. Loss will move people significantly faster, and I've read up to 70% faster than pleasure. You always want to put people in pain and then actually position yourself as the solution to get them out of pain.
Makes total sense. Absolutely. Yep.
There's something I read once, and let me take one phrase out of it, is what you want to be, literally, and I told Brandon this last week, he's got a new campaign going on, he's launching.
Mm-hmm.
You, on your webinars and your marketing, you want to be your prospect's salvation. You want to be the person that they believe can solve their problem. And literally, even on your webinars, I was watching a webinar recently, and I'm like, this webinar is pretty good. But what he hasn't done yet is he gave really good content. But what he hadn't done yet is made himself the prospect's salvation.
Makes sense, right? Absolutely. And I know my listeners are saying, okay, cool. How do we do that?
Okay. Let me, and by the way, we've got about 15, 20 minutes left.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, you might have heard this before, guys, but as you're sitting here and you're taking notes and you're thinking about how to apply this, I know that you guys are thinking, okay, Jim, I get all this, but how exactly can I break it down? Which is what you just said, Rick, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Okay. What that's called is, and that's also a hypnotic technique, what that's called is entering the conversation that your prospect is already having in their own mind. Have you heard that before?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yep.
Okay. Now, guys, let me break that down simpler. As a hypnotist, and I haven't done hypnosis in many years, but when somebody was in hypnosis, and I could tell because their breathing slows down, their face relaxes, and I could tell they were in hypnosis, what I would say is I wonder if you've noticed how relaxed you have become. I didn't say you're relaxed. I said, I wonder if you've noticed.
Yeah.
And that's called a presupposition. Because guess what? If they haven't noticed, now as a result of me making that statement, they do notice. And if they haven't noticed yet, they will notice as a result of me actually making that statement. So the way that I do it is when I talk to people, I'm on webinars, I will say things as you're sitting there listening right now, you're probably thinking about ways you can apply these strategies to grow your business, aren't you? And guess what? By even that simple statement, when I say as you're sitting there or standing there and you're listening right now, they are sitting and standing or listening right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm telling them what they're doing and I'm saying, you're probably even wondering how you can apply this. And they're saying, yep, I'm already wondering. And then I say, let me answer that for you. And then I start answering it for them. And I said, step number one is this. And you're probably already wondering about step number one. Well, let me take that worry away and let me show you how to do it. And I'm literally dialoguing with them in their mind as if I'm sitting across from them having a cup of coffee.
Mm.
That's how to do that. That's how to pull them in, is entering the conversation they're already having in their own mind. If they've got objections, and I already know that I'm going to get this kind of objection, I'll start very quickly with saying things like, you know what? You're probably already thinking this might be too expensive for you. Or you may be thinking this might be too expensive for you. And if that's the case, let me show you how anybody can afford this. And if I say, because it's a big objection that people say it's too expensive, and if I say, you're probably already wondering how expensive this is, boom, I'm already in their head. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I'm just trying to, like, I'm nodding my head as you're talking, as you're talking about this, because I'm sure that that's the effect that you're trying to, that you're trying to have. So yes, I'm kind of like processing all this right now too. Yes. Makes total sense though.
Okay. Let me give you guys a bullet takeaway. Is write this down, is when you can enter the conversation your prospect is already having in their mind, they will follow you.
Yeah.
Whatever their concerns might be, or their hopes or their wishes or their dreams, what most of us do is we present content externally. Here's this product, go buy it. But what you want to do is you want to talk to them as if you're talking to them one-to-one about problems or concerns or hopes or dreams they're having. Because when you're doing that, listen to what Rick said. He goes, yep, I'm processing this in my mind as I'm going along. Every one of you right now are processing this in your mind, mainly because a lot of you probably never heard it, even though it's not earth shattering. But a lot of you have not heard this before. And this is actually making some little light bulbs go off in your mind, isn't it? And even by me saying that, you're like, yep, Jim, it's doing that. I'm in your head. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. It's super cool.
So next one is, emotions. Remember, pain. Always leverage pain over pleasure. Always put people in pain. The more pain you can put people in, the quicker they will move. Next one is reactance. Reactance is like rattling the cage, getting people emotionally charged. And the more you can rattle the cage, the more people are going to respond or they're going to move. Another example of that, Facebook ad that I saw. Huge dog lover. If you're a dog lover, you might have seen this ad on Facebook. It said something along the lines of about South Korea and them having like places where they eat dogs. But there's this one place in South Korea and it said 170 dogs are suffering. And then it had a picture of these dogs really, really suffering. Now we see that on TV, but we've become anesthetized to it. But seeing the suffering condition of these dogs in the wallow, that's called emotional reactance. It got my response rate up and I read the entire ad. That makes sense. Do you have any questions about that?
Yeah. Was there positivity to it? Because again, my mind immediately goes to like, you know, Facebook wanting to keep the platform a positive experience. So I totally get that from an emotional perspective. I'm just wondering, like, was there a positive outcome with it or what?
you help, and we can get a positive outcome.
Okay, gotcha.
The whole positioning. And what I, yeah, let me thank you again for bringing that back. Let me point that out. You've got to obviously work within the positive experience they want people to have. But what I simply do is I'll do something just to rattle the cage a little bit, to pull them in, to get their attention. And then I'll have them, you know, I'll take them to a video over on Lead Pages or whatever. And then you can do whatever you want once you've got them up, gotten them off from Facebook, you know. And then I'll use a lot of this stuff like reactants or pain or putting them in pain or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
That okay. makes sense. Or I'll even put them in a bind. It's called a double bind. It's either or. I could say, Rick, do you want to help me carry this bookcase in before lunch or after lunch? What's already presupposed there?
That I'm helping.
Exactly. It's not a matter of do you want to help. It's that you're going to help.
Right. Yeah.
So I'll put people in binds. And these are very things that you really can't see. But you know what? You can actually start learning right now, everybody listening. You can start learning subconscious persuasion and influence, or you can keep losing sales. It's completely up to you. I put you in one camp or the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Going back to what you said, Jim, about the landing page, we do need to be careful there on the landing page as well, because Facebook is checking that for policy. So, I mean, you can get away with a little bit more, but you still need to be conscious of that. I just want to make sure that everyone's aware of that, that, you know, because we do talk about that on the show here quite a bit. You do need to be, you know, still need to be conscious of policy on the landing page there.
Okay, so let me add there. Brandon has to keep reeling me back in because I'm the consummate marketer. And I don't do it egregiously. I do it covertly.
Sure.
And thank you for reinforcing that to people, because I don't want anybody's accounts banned or any of that.
Right.
I think the key is to just start playing smaller and just kind of working this into your marketing, as opposed to like, I'm going to take the door off the hinges and see what I can do.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a great approach. But you just take it, and even things like getting attention and just something shocking or high contrast, how you're different, or tangible, these things will start making a difference. Okay, let's go into some language here really quickly, all right? And then this will help people also. By the way, any questions about what we've covered so far?
No, this is great. Really okay. Good.
Got it. As a hypnotist, we use language, and we use actually what's called hypnotic conversational language. And it can be anything from, I wonder if you've recognized how relaxed you have become. Now, for any of you and all of you listening, you might think nothing of that phrase. But what's hidden behind it is I'm saying, I wonder if you're recognizing how powerful. Let me give you a different example. I wonder if you guys are starting to realize just how powerful this information is. Now, what I could say is this, what most people say. Hey, guys, you think you can use this? Does this make sense? This is kind of powerful, right? That's what most people say. Stuff like that. You mm-hmm. think you can use this, right?
Yeah.
No, I never say that. When I'm doing a live presentation, I'll say, you know what, guys, I'm wondering if you realize just how powerful this information is and what it can do for you. What have I suggested there?
That it's powerful and that it can and that it can help them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't ask for somebody's opinion on it. Do you think you can use it? I say, I wonder if you realize, because guess what? By the way that I ask the question, if you haven't realized it, it's called a presupposition. Now I'm actually prompting you to realize and to find it powerful. When I ask the question that way, I'm getting you to agree that it's powerful, and I'm not telling you it's powerful. I'm getting you to agree that it's powerful.
Yeah.
And you're nodding your head.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. A lot of times I'll say things, for example, we are conditioned. This is language as well. We are conditioned not to believe and not to follow salespeople or marketers. We tune it out, right?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Barrier goes up.
Boom. The shield, yep. Right? Goes up. So what I tell people is this. I'll say, you know what? As you're going through this and as you're listening or as you start using this kind of material, you're going to discover just how powerful that it is. Now, what I could have said is position A. This is powerful material. But what I also said is position B, as you're going to discover. When I say as you're going to discover, you're therefore now looking to discover it yourself as opposed to me telling you. Then when you discover it for yourself, now you believe it, and I didn't have to convince you of anything.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A couple of more here, and I'll tell you where you guys can get a list of these patterns, is I earlier said the fact that you're on this podcast means that you want to grow your sales. Who can argue with that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you can't.
Yeah, you cannot.
You can't say, I'm not on this podcast. What are you talking about, right?
Right.
And then why else would you be here if you didn't want to grow your Facebook ad conversion, right?
Yep.
I gave you truisms that I made you say yes to. So that's an example of influential leading language. And I'll tell you where you can get, actually, you can download a PDF. And I've got 17 patterns that you can use in the ads. And they're all very, very safe. It's just leading conversation. Let me give you a couple of words here. And this is a really, really powerful one. So let's say, for example, that, and again, direct me here, Rick, is let's say, for example, that your ad is about weight loss. You can't make outrageous claims and all that kind of stuff. And they're very strict about that.
Yeah.
But they will say things like you could lose 10 pounds or whatever, something simple, right?
Are you asking, is that allowed?
Yeah,
you got to be really careful with that. Even if you could say, if you said something like, you know, because of their product, you could say, you can lose 10 pounds. Facebook is going to have a problem with that because they see that as a promise that, you know, they're insinuating that this product is going to help you lose 10 pounds. So they'll have a problem with it.
So let's go a different direction here. Every ad has something shiny, some promise of some sort that it wants to deliver.
Yes, exactly.
People are wanting to create, they're wanting to get something as a result of clicking on that ad, right? And the advertiser or the marketer will mention that outcome, right?
Yep.
That you haven't gotten yet, right? But you can get it if you get this product, right? Okay, here's a simple way. Just, this is the power of words and what I teach, guys, is how about if I change the ad to, let's say your outcome wanted to be better, we'll just keep it generic, better conversions. So instead of saying my product here with my product, you can get better conversions. What if I said something along the lines of imagine that you've already gotten better conversions by using what I teach?
Yeah. Yeah.
You notice the first way is positioning that I don't have it yet. But when I say imagine that you've already gotten the results that you want, I've already moved your mind into, oh my gosh, I'm thinking along the lines of how would my life be different if I already had it? Now you're already in their brain again.
Yeah. And the first way you said it, Jim, is it, like, again, I am never the authority, the final authority on what Facebook policy is, but I tend to play devil's advocate. On the first thing that you said, you know, how to get better, what do you say, better leads or something like that?
Better conversions.
Facebook might read that as you're insinuating that they're not getting good conversions right now, which would be a negative experience. But with the second part there, where you're leading them to that they already have it, just that tweak of language there, I mean, is totally in line with what policy would be.
Okay. But notice also, so it's in line with policy, but if I said, imagine you've already had, you already have it.
Yeah.
I literally change your brain from thinking about getting it to literally going left brain to right brain, having your brain, because when I put the word already, imagine that you already have it.
Yeah.
You don't start thinking, well, what if I did have it? You start thinking with where I lead you. Well, what if I already did have it? Now I can attribute that back to this product or service that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
So, and thank you for that. And guys, I apologize because actually Brandon does my Facebook ads for me. And and what's funny is this, is he'll take a red pen and start marking through things and go, you know, we got to tone it down. We got to do this. We got to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he can even tell you I've helped him significantly just increasing conversions on his webinars because you guys will use this stuff there.
Yeah.
And literally it's just when you plant, I didn't say that earlier, but when you plant suggestions, you can lead people, let me rephrase it. As you're going to discover, when you learn to plant suggestions, you can lead people anywhere you want them to go.
Yeah, I love it. And guys, by the way, Jim keeps talking about Brandon Lucero. So Brandon's been on the podcast before. I'm going to have to go. I'll let you know in the either the intro and outro. I'll go back and figure out which episode that he was on. So Brandon's been on the podcast before. Great episode. He's also speaking at my FBA Live event here this weekend. Well, at the time we're recording this, it's in a few days. So anyway, I'll link it up in the show notes for the episode here today.
Perfect. Yep. Perfect. So I know we're about out of time. Yep. Any questions about anything we've covered?
No, this is really cool stuff. I have 2 pages of notes here as we're going through. And I know you also mentioned that you've got a resource for people to, as far as that, you know, the hypnotic conversational language examples that they can check out.
Yeah, they're written out for you. Go to salespsychologyacademy.com, salespsychologyacademy.com. And of course, it'll be below in the links and everything. salespsychologyacademy.com/persuasion. PERSUASION.
Cool.
It's just a squeeze page. You'll be able to actually download a PDF. I've got 17 language patterns in there. And Rick, I want you please to go download also to look at them.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to.
Yeah, to make sure. But it's all pretty banal stuff, but it's all stuff that leads people and gets into their head. But they're what I call threads. They're ways to actually say things and to lead people, but they don't know they're being led. There's no promises being made. Now, what you do is you take the pattern and you fill in the blanks. And one of the patterns was, is the fact that blank means blank. The fact that you're reading this ad means that you want to actually grow your business. That is a language pattern. Yeah. And you've got 17 patterns there. You can work them into your copy. So go download that. You're going to want to actually download that and start playing with that. Secondly, I've got a group on Facebook, hpspgroup.com. It's High Performance Sales Professional Group, but it's all persuasion and influence stuff. hpspgroup.com.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. And you have a program too. You have a program that teaches all this stuff as well.
Well, I'm creating right now. You're creating, okay. Sales Psychology Academy. We're all marketers here, guys. So sure. why try to hide anything?
Yeah.
So when you go over to sellpsychologyacademy.com/persuasion, then you can download that. And if you want, you can go join my membership site, Sales Psychology Academy. And there's literally hundreds of videos that are very short that show you how to get into people's heads. But I'm also going to be creating, Brandon told me to do it. I didn't listen, but now I am because you confirmed it, to create a Facebook advertising and marketing product, which will be out early next year. And you're going to miss out on that and keep losing sales unless you get on my list, so I can tell you about it a little later.
Everything you're talking about in play right now is how you're communicating.
Well, they do want to do better, right? They do want to increase their sales, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they want to go join my, they want to get on my list.
Yeah. And I want to just kind of caveat all this, Jim, like, because I think some people can construe some of this stuff as sort of like, we're trying to take advantage of people and all this other stuff. And I look at it more so of, look, this is the way the brain actually works. And so, and we are, you know, in the whole, you know, you mentioned in the very beginning, the whole world of NLP. And this is, I think I've heard some elements of NLP in what we're talking about here today, but just from a psychological perspective, how to take advantage of how the brain works and speaking to people and how we're getting their attention, how we're able to leverage these types of things that we're learning here to get people to take action, because we're all in a business. We're all in business to help people, right? We want to improve yep. people's lives and yep. help them live a better life or have a better business or whatever it might be. And, you know, we're just all leveraging these things that we're talking about here today in a more, sort of specified way, if you will, to be able to do that. So I just kind of want to caveat that. But yeah, please add
30 seconds to that.
For
okay.
sure.
So I tell people this. When I used to teach a full day course, I would have people sign, and I couldn't enforce it, but I'd have them sign an agreement saying what they learned they would use ethically. My belief system is I believe in karma. And if I take money out of your pocket for my gain or my benefit or whatever without serving, that money's going to come right back out of my pocket. The way that I tell people to use this, and especially in sales and marketing, is to shorten your sales cycle, to weed out people who do not belong in your funnels and in your database. And because all of us sell, every one of you, right, like for example, right now, you're on a cell phone or you're on a computer or something that you bought from somebody, right?
Yeah.
Everything is sales. So if you're going to sell, sell in the most effective and efficient way to do it, which is to the brain, and not the old way, which is throwing darts, which literally 95% or more people still do. So use it ethically, because if you don't, it'll come right back out of your pocket.
Yeah.
But use it to shorten your selling cycles, to weed out people that don't belong in your funnels, and to help more people.
Yeah.
So we're on the same page, and thank you for bringing that to the forefront.
Yeah.
So I can share that as well.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great way to tie up this conversation. I mean, we've covered a lot of different stuff here, gone really deep on stuff. People have now resources they can go to check out and learn more about this. So, Jim, thank you so much, man, for coming on here. This is a really, really interesting conversation. I'm going to go download this stuff. You and I have been talking about for me doing more of this stuff. So I'm excited about it. So thank you again for coming on here and sharing your expertise with the AOPT audience.
Thank you so much. You guys take it out, use it, grow your sales, and make it a great year. Thanks so much, Rick. I'll talk to you later, okay?
All right. Hope you got a lot out of this one, Jim, today. I told you at the very beginning of this episode that we were going to go deep here today. So you may want to listen to this episode one or two more times here to really let the concepts dig in, because we covered a lot of different stuff that may take a couple times to really sink in for you. I know that I took a bunch of notes during the interview when I interviewed Jim, and I've reviewed them a few times, and I've also checked out his program. So really good stuff here from Jim. Thank you again to him for coming on. Now, before we wrap up today, I want to let you know about an opportunity to get more hands-on help with business building mentorship and coaching from me. This is something that people have been asking me about for a long time now. And I've created a new 12-month group coaching program, which is called the Accelerator. And this is to help you more quickly take your business to the next level. And I've based it on the framework around three key elements: high-level coaching,
community and accountability. And I started working with online entrepreneurs because basically I'm living proof that when you surround yourself with bright, driven, like-minded people and you get coaching along with that, you create an opportunity for big time growth. That's what has allowed me to grow my business so quickly over the last 4 years. And I want the same thing for you. So when you enroll in the Accelerator program, you're going to get a 12-month personalized game plan for achieving whatever your goals are for you and your business. You're going to get monthly group coaching, training, and hot seat strategy calls. We do 2 calls per month. You get a coach as part of the program. You're going to get 2 live private retreats here in San Diego, a VIP experience, and a bonus day at one of my FBA live events here in San Diego. You're going to get personalized funnel critiques, Facebook ad critiques, copy reviews, launch strategy reviews on a monthly basis, a private Facebook group to get daily help, support, and community, and a whole lot more. Really excited about this program. If you think that coaching, support, and accountability is something that can help you fast track the success of your business, I would invite you to check out my new Accelerator program and book a strategy call with me, which you can do over at rickmulready.com/accelerator. Again, it's rickmulready.com/accelerator. Thank you so much, my friends, for hanging out with me today. Really appreciate you taking the time to do this. I've got another awesome episode coming your way, coming up in episode number 170. What episode is the next one? 174. So until then, my friends, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.